Our Father in heaven, we rejoice that we can be gathered in your presence this day to worship you. We know this is possible because you have first reached out to us in your grace, in your mercy. We pray that you have the freedom to be in our midst, to speak to us, to grant us insight into the truth you revealed in the scriptures, that we know how to respond to you, how to love you, and how to be obedient to you. We thank you for the Spirit of God who guides us into all the truth. And we pray that your word will find receptive hearts and bear good fruit. For we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject, the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 213th message. The subtopic for today, the big picture, the second message. In the last message, I mentioned that in 2010, I began considering with you this important subject of the church and the fulfillment of God's purposes. And we noted that the scriptures reveals to us two major aspects to God's call for believers and how God wants us to fulfill his purposes. And we need to pay heed to both of them. The first is personal, our personal relationship with God and our walk with him, and how our personal and also our personal spiritual health and growth. The second is the corporate aspect. Each believer fulfilling well his part as a member of the body of Christ, and also the whole body functioning well in response to God's call. And on Judgment Day, we will have to give an account to the Lord on both aspects. I also mentioned that there are two dimensions to the corporate aspect. One is the universal church, and the other is church life in the local context. And at this juncture, we are concentrating on the outworking of church life in the local context. And today I want to continue with the big picture. I'll ask this question, which by now all of us are very familiar, and that is, what is the foundational basis for healthy church life? It is vital we get the foundation, the foundational basis right. First, the understanding, and then after that, the appropriate response. I've actually spent quite some time with you considering this subject. And the foundational basis for healthy church life is the same as the foundational basis for all aspects of life. And that is God and truth. God and what he has revealed. So I took some time over several messages to consider with you why God and truth ought to be the foundational basis for all aspects of our lives and the primary motivation of our hearts. It's important that we not only hear it and acknowledge it, agree with it, but we must become deeply convicted that this foundational basis is very important, and that our lives are indeed firmly grounded in this approach to life, all the time, including knowing how to go about it, not just you recognize and you agree, but how to go about it, and also to be strongly motivated to live in this way, that you do not need people to persuade you from time to time to live in this way. You are convicted and you want to live this way, and you recognize it is critical. The Lord Jesus himself also talks about the importance of a good, strong foundation. And I'll now refer you to a few verses. And you'll find that these verses, which are the words of the Lord Jesus on the importance of this strong foundation, is very relevant to the subject we are considering. Luke chapter 6, verses 47 to 49. beginning with verse 46 of Luke chapter 6, the Lord Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" And this should be words that we pay heed to. It's not enough just to call the Lord Jesus Lord. Do we pay careful heed to what he has to say? First, know what he has said, and then listen to it, abide by it. Do we do that? If not, then our calling him Lord, our acknowledging him Lord, are just words. And in that context, the Lord Jesus said these very important words. Verse 47, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without foundation, without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great." So the Lord Jesus talks about building, and the building needs strong foundation. If you do not build a strong foundation, then you'll collapse when the torrent bursts against it. The winds, the waves, or the winds, and when the weather is bad, the house can collapse. In a parallel passage where the Lord Jesus talks about this area, he said it at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. But these words of the Lord Jesus are actually very important. If we pause and consider, you realize he's talking about the foundational approach to life. It's on that basis that we can build a strong foundation for our lives. And you notice, he began it in this way, verse 47, "Everyone who comes to me and hear my words." We tend to, when we look at this passage, we'll talk about, to think about the words of the Lord Jesus, hear, absorb, act on it. That is correct. But before that, there is the other aspect. That's why God and truth. Verse 47, "Everyone who comes to me." That's the first aspect. We must first come to the Lord Jesus. He is not just the perfect man, our perfect example, but he is the God-man. He is God. If we want to build a strong foundation for our lives, we must come to the Lord. And we come to the Lord because we know we need him. He is essential for our lives. We want to build a strong foundation. And then the other aspect, he says, you come to me and then you hear my words. The words of the Lord are words of truth. So there are those who say they love the Lord, they draw near to God, they pray to him, they worship him, but they do not pay much attention to the teachings of the Lord. They do not pay much attention to what God wants to speak to us through the scriptures. The two must go together. We also cannot say, yeah, the scriptures, very important. I want to hear what God has to say to me. So I spend much time reading, studying the scriptures. And there are those who spend many hours studying the scriptures. They are even known as scholars of the Bible, including some are very famous. But if they neglect this first aspect of coming to the Lord to nurture their relationship with God so that they really hear his words, because in the end it's not just the words of the text in the Bible, the words must become alive to us. We must actually hear God speaking to us, hear what God is trying to communicate to us, and actually hear it. It comes alive in our hearts, and it renew our minds. So the two must go together. Not just what people tell us be the truth. It must really be the truth that comes from God. end, we need to hear it, absorb it, work it out in the context of a lively relationship with God, where we must first come to the Lord and nurture our relationship with Him. So we need to come to the Lord, hear His words, and absorb them, act on them. That means it becomes a part of our lives. That is what Paul meant in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We do not want to be conformed to the world. We must not be conformed to the world. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And the renewing of our minds takes place when we receive the truth that comes from God. When we receive the truth that God has revealed in the scriptures, and it shapes our values, our perspective. It helps us understand the goal, our destiny, and how we ought to reach it. And this is true for the personal level as well as for the corporate level. Both. Both of these aspects are critical. We need to know the Lord, know the truth, absorb them, they become a part of our lives. They renew our minds, shapes our values, and our whole mindset, our whole approach to life must be based on this fellowship with God, our relationship with Him, and on the basis of the truth that we have learned from Him as revealed in the scriptures, and also from there, our daily lives, how God continues to speak to us. But that part we need to be careful. How God speaks to us is critical in daily life. That's part of the lively relationship with God. But we must always check it against the truth in the scriptures. Because what we think God may be speaking to us, we can be wrong. And we can even be deceived. If we are not careful, we can go very far wrong. There are many Christians who are not very careful. They feel very free to say, God spoke to me, this. But on many occasions, it is quite clear when you examine it, it cannot be that God has spoken to them, because it's clearly contrary to the truth revealed in the scriptures. And when we say, God has spoken to me, and then you act on it, it can be very dangerous if it is not really the truth. So we need to set our hearts to truly know God and the truth He has revealed to us, and a lively walk with God. So I've spent quite some time to consider with you how these two aspects, the foundational basis of God and truth, how this works out at a personal level. That is, the posture of God and truth. What this is and what the implications. And I mentioned it's a total approach to life. I went through carefully with you over various areas so that we understand what this means, and it's feasible then to align our heart with this posture and to know the joy, the blessings of God, the peace of God, and the assurance that no matter what situation we go through, we can continue to produce good fruit. And I covered this whole subject with you and many, many different aspects of it in 71 messages. I took quite some time to go over all this with you is because of the hope that if we can properly receive this truth and live our lives accordingly, if we truly understand and actually align our heart with the posture of God and truth, then it is indeed feasible for us to continually enjoy the blessings of God and walk in deep fellowship with Him and have the assurance that step by step as we walk, even in the midst of trials and difficulties, we will continually make good progress and finally reach the goal. In the meantime, we will continue to grow at a personal level and also together in church life. By that point in time, I concentrated at the personal level, the posture of God and truth. And in fact, I've just recently finished these messages. So now we are going to concentrate how this same posture of God and truth will enable us to fare well in the outworking of church life. The underlying principles are the same, but now we need to concentrate on what God has revealed in the scriptures regards to church life. What is it all about? How it should function? What is the goal? How to go about it? So we still need to concentrate on God. What God has and the truth that He has revealed. And we need to go through it all together with God. So these preceding messages on the posture of God and truth are actually very critical. Because if we can have a strong foundation on the posture of God and truth at a personal level, and then we seek to work at it together, we will be able to fare well in this very difficult area, but very important area of our working of church life. Over the years, many of us may be quite impressed with, as well as recognize, the importance of church life. For many of us, we may be very conscious of this. But it is helpful for us to recognize that our starting point is not concentrating on church life. That's actually not our starting point. Even when we first came together, it was not like that. Our starting point is the posture of God and truth. We didn't just start off with concentrating on church life. Why do I say our starting point is the posture of God and truth? Our concentration on church life arises from the posture of God and truth. In our push to life, we want to live our lives well, then we want to know the truth. And the truth, as I've explained to you, in the posture of God and truth, the real truth includes how we ought to live. So as we seek to know the truth, we come to know that in truth, God exists. And it's not God, and you just put whatever content you want to it, but this actual God is the perfect God, the God of the scriptures, the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we know that this perfect God exists, the God of the scriptures, then to live our lives properly, we set our hearts to know Him and to know what He has to say, to know Him and the truth that He has revealed. And so we come to understand that God has actually given us the scriptures that's inspired by God, that can give us authoritative understanding of the truth, including how we can truly know God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, what is in His heart and how He wants us to live our lives. And so it is as we set our heart to know God, to know the truth that God has revealed, then we come to recognize and see that God wants us to pay much attention to their working of church life and how to go about it. That is why all these years we have paid a lot of attention to church life. But the starting point is not church life. The starting point is our having come to know God. Now we are responding to God, responding to God's call and what God has to say to us. And as we pay attention to that, it becomes very clear that God has revealed to us in the scriptures that church life is very, very important, very central to their working and the fulfillment of God's purposes. And that is why we ought to give priority and to pay due attention to the working of church life. It is correct. Not just because someone tells us we ought to do it, or one day we wake up and we tell ourselves, I better do it. It's important that we know the basis and we develop strong convictions grounded in the truth. So we ought to give priority, pay due attention to our working of church life, because we recognize God wants to work out His purposes through healthy church life, the expression of body life, so that God's glory and God's manifold wisdom can be manifested through the church and God's purposes accomplished. Now all these are terms that by now we are familiar. But for many years in church history, Christians do not quite understand these things. For example, the importance of the expression of body life. There's very little understanding, hardly. of the scriptural revelation of body life, although it's so important, so central. In, for example, in Ephesians chapter 4. And we've looked at Ephesians chapter 3, in fact, we went through the this whole concept of the mystery and the whole epistle of Ephesians that reveals to us what was in God's heart even before the foundation of the world and how He wants His purposes to be accomplished. And then we see that God wants His eternal purpose to be carried out through Christ and through the church, that His manifold wisdom can be manifested through the church. I now want to briefly mention to you, bring to your attention, that the posture of God in truth bears an interesting relationship with our working of church life. The two are closely related. We can say it bears a symbiotic relationship. They reinforce each other. So on the one hand, the posture of God in truth, as I explained just now, helps us to know why we are concentrating on church life and how to go about it. With the correct posture of God and truth, then we consider God, knowing God, and knowing the truth is revealed, then we come to recognize the importance of church life. And not only that, how to go about it. The truth reveals to us. So that posture helps us to come to this. Including the approach, the emphasis, not just emphasis, singular but plural, emphasis, and the practical outworking. All this we'll look at it in greater detail, although over the years I've also preached several messages on these various aspects, but at this point, at this juncture, we want to go into detail, concentrating on the outworking of healthy church life in the fulfillment of God's purposes. So it's the posture of God and truth. If we are consistent with it, we know how to go about it, it will bring us into concentrating on church life, how to go about it, the approach to take, and the emphasis, as well as the practical outworking. Also, the understanding, as well as the aligning of our heart with the posture of God and truth at a personal level, will provide a firm foundation for the right approach to our working of church life, as I mentioned just now. If that is not yet true, we will have to work towards that direction. Then more and more of us will see it and truly align our heart with the posture. Whether you know, understand all the terms or not, it's not a critical thing. The more important is you understand the reality and how to go about it. And it becomes real in your life that you actually have aligned your heart with the posture. But otherwise, even if you agree with all the concepts that you hear, the principles that you hear, but the reality is not in your heart, it will not help you. So that is on the one hand, how the posture of God and truth helps us to know how to concentrate on church life and how to work it out. And how various ones aligning our hearts with the posture provides us with a firm foundation for the right approach to our working of healthy church life. On the other hand, the other side of it, healthy church life, as we seek to understand, to work out, and it's not just the beginning now, we've sought to work at it all these years. Healthy church life is God's appointed way and context that helps God's children to grow in their knowledge of God, to grow in their knowledge of the truth, and also to work out the truth effectively in their personal lives as well as together in church life. So God's intention is not just each one of us at a personal level, we seek to know Him, know the truth, and work out. He wants us to work out together in church life. And not only that, church life is actually God's provision for us. If we understand it and we know how to work it out, it is God's intention that in the context of church life, we deepen our knowledge of Him, we deepen our knowledge of the truth, and a context where we encourage one another, help one another to deepen in our response to God and knowledge as well as respond to the truth. That is, in the context of healthy church life, we will continually strengthen the posture of God and truth, each one at a personal level, and also together, corporately, in expression of body life. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul wrote to Timothy, he told Timothy, "I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth." 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. So Paul says, "I write so that you will know." That means this is an important aspect of the whole epistle. What he was writing to Timothy. This is something important that he wants Timothy to pay attention to. And that is the importance of how believers ought to conduct themselves in the household of God, which is the church of the living God. So he's now talking about the church. And the church, there are different expressions. You can talk about the body of Christ. You can talk about the household of God. They communicate different aspects of this important reality. So how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God. Very important. How we conduct ourselves. It's not just between you and God. Or you try to reach out to other people. How you work out in church life. In the household of God, very important. But now the main thrust I want to highlight in this verse is, Paul says, the household of God, the church, is the pillar and support of the truth. The pillar tells us, but the critical part now is the truth. Pillar and support of the truth. The church is very important in regards to the truth. And the scriptures tells us, God is truth. Christ is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the truth. And in earlier messages I've mentioned to you, it's quite clear from the scriptures, if you know how to walk in the truth, that's it. That's all that there is to the Christian faith. Or, you have to elaborate a little bit, is walk with God in truth. If you are truly walking in the truth, you'll be walking with God. But clearer, be walking with God in truth. And if you walk with God, you have to be in the truth. If you're truly walking in the truth, in the scriptural sense, you'll be walking with God. We look at 1 John, how John wrote that the thing that really matters is whether we are walking in the truth. That is the critical thing. But how do we walk in the truth? How do we know the truth? Is it just by our seeking the Lord on our own in the scriptures? There is that aspect, yes. But a very important aspect that we need to understand is what Paul is writing here. The church is the pillar and support of the truth. The pillar tells us, if the pillar were to collapse, what would happen to the house? The house, how can it carry on properly? The house may collapse. If the pillar is weak, then the whole house is unstable. And it may even collapse. So if the pillar is weak or collapses, we know there will be very serious adverse consequences for the whole house, for the whole household. And that is true. When church life is not functioning properly, then there will be very significant implications for the health of believers. So this is an area that is very close to God's heart. In the universal church, where the local, where expression of church life at the local context is weak, then believers, it will be very difficult for them to work out their lives properly. And even if here and there, there are those who strive hard to be faithful to God, it will be very difficult for them to work out God's purposes properly, because there are various aspects that requires the body to work out together. Then God can manifest His power and glory. There are many things that God wants to reveal and manifest His power and work through, not just through individuals, but through the expression of body life, healthy church life. So the church life, when it's working properly, very important for the knowledge of God, knowledge of the truth, and to work out the truth. The pillar and support of the truth includes helping us to know the truth, and also for the truth to be properly worked out, and also the truth to be disseminated. So church life is God's appointed way for God's children to deepen knowledge of God and love for God, as well as knowledge of the truth and love for the truth, and also to work out what is in God's heart. For the posture of God and truth to become increasingly real in the lives of individual believers, as well as together in the expression of body life, then church life needs to work out well. So that's why we need to concentrate to understand what God has revealed in the scriptures. How can church life work out well? When the foundational basis of healthy church life is God and truth, there are many implications in practical outworking. I've mentioned I'm now covering, looking at it from the big picture. So I'm not going into details, but the big picture. So what then is the foundational basis, the approach? As I said, there'll be many practical implications, but in the midst of many aspects, we must not forget the big picture. There are basically two foundational, major, related aspects that healthy church life must concentrate on and continually to concentrate on, and that is God and truth. God and what God has revealed. So the first is God. Who God is, our relationship with God, God's provisions, God's guidance, God's enabling. And then we must grow in appreciation, understanding of God the Father, as well as the implications, the attributes of God, and what are the implications. We need to know the role of Christ, especially what has been accomplished at the cross, but not only that, the risen Christ, the exaltation of Christ, and what are the implications, and how to abide in Him and He in us. Then the role and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. All these are major areas, and over the years I've sought to cover various of these areas over many messages, including God's provisions for us. All the various aspects that we seek to understand and work out must always be linked to the being of God. They must not be separated. So, for example, when we talk about fellowship amongst the brethren, we cannot just concentrate on fellowship amongst the brethren. It must always be linked to our knowledge of God and relationship with God and the truth that God has revealed, and so on with all aspects of our working. The second major aspect is truth. That is, the outworking of church life must always be based on, grounded in the truth, so that members of the body can walk with God in truth. And truth must then permeate every aspect of our lives. But the outworking based on truth includes a very important aspect, is the truth regards to the role of the church. Why is the role of the church so important? How does God want church life to work out? We need to know the truth. So we need to seek to understand accurately in a wholesome manner how God wants church life to work out in the scriptures. We have to pay a lot of attention to these major issues. So these two broad aspects, God and the truth, and the implications for our lives, personal together, we can see these two aspects, we can compare them to the two legs of a man and the need for two strong legs. If a man wants to be stable, he wants to walk well, then his legs need to be strong, and both legs are important. And the both two legs are related to each other. Then the person can be strong, can be stable, and this is true. These two areas, compared to the two legs of a man, they need to work well, they need to be strong, applies to the personal level, it also applies to the corporate level, the expression of church life. Then it can enable us to reach the destination, as well as the whole process. It's not just at the end of it, but the end is the goal we aim towards that. But the very process, there are many, many things that God wants to teach us and to accomplish in the whole process. But finally, if we work out well, we reach our destination in eternity and we can rejoice and look back without regret. And the two strong legs are especially important when we realize, when we recognize that the journey is a difficult one. There are many obstacles. The terrain is not smooth and easy. So the two strong legs are very important. You can see the strength and the quality of the at the personal level, the strength and quality of life at the personal level, as well as the quality of healthy church life, is directly related to both of these aspects. That is, the depth of our knowledge of God and our relationship with God and our walk with Him, and the other is the breadth and the depth of our understanding and our knowledge of the truth, including the absorption of the truth and working out what God has, the truth that God has revealed. And especially in relation to the major issues in God's heart, including how God wants us to accomplish His purposes, as well as understanding God's part and man's part. What is God's part? What is man's part? And to realize that God's part is critical. We cannot work out on our own, but the other is man's part is also very critical. Because here what we are talking about of the fulfillment of God's purposes has to do with man. Why God has created man and the purposes that God wants to accomplish in the context of His creation of man, His image, and how He wants to work in and through man. And there are vital aspects that man must fulfill. But man can fulfill it, can fulfill his part well only as he understands how to look to God, to show Him how to work it out, and to do so in fellowship with God, in dependence on God, not on his own. So he needs to cooperate what God wants to bring about in his life and through his life. But it is critical that man fulfills his part well. So both aspects are very important. The relationship with God, the other is the breadth and depth of our knowledge of the truth, absorption, working it out. And these two aspects, the quality of relationship with God and to a degree we have recognized, absorbed the truth, work it out, these are the two aspects that will determine how well you fare at a personal level and also together in church life. At the same time, we must bear in mind that healthy church life as God intends it will have to provide an environment that concentrates on and promotes these two aspects and all the implications that flow forth from it. You have to concentrate on this. This is God's way. This is the scriptural emphasis. Only then will you have two strong legs that can enable you to go through the journey well. If these two vital aspects are neglected or they are weak, then all the other aspects will not be able to fare well. Even if at times it appears to be faring well. And there are Christians who neglect these two aspects, but they pay a lot of attention to various things, and outwardly, the outward appearance of things, things seem to be flourishing. And you can jot down your statistics. But in the spiritual realm, the advancement of God's kingdom is not truly going forth properly, and the foundations are weak, the building is weak. And from time to time,
you become manifest, the whole thing collapses. Then you realize that actually it is quite hollow. Many things may appear flourishing. Big buildings, big numbers. That's not to say that numbers are not useful. Numbers are useful when it's properly grounded. In the Lord and in the truth. And it is not uncommon for God's children, for believers. Those who profess to be believers, they can be genuine believers, they can be those who think they are, who profess to be believers, but they are not even born again. But it's not uncommon for professing believers to be preoccupied and very busy with many things and many activities, including trying to serve God. It's positive, you're trying to serve God, but there's insufficient attention, emphasis on knowing God, nurturing our relationship with Him, and seeking to understand the truth, know the truth, absorb the truth, and how to fulfill our part in our working of God's purposes in the way that God desires of us. So when these two aspects are neglected, there'll be many problems. I will now go on to highlight some marks of healthy church life. These are just some of them. There are many others which are very important. That is when church life is functioning well, as revealed in the scriptures. But these marks are not easy to attain. Neither easy are they easy to maintain. But once we can see clearly that these are very clearly revealed in the scriptures, we must be committed to work in that direction. And we have to continually to work towards these directions. As I list them to you, they'll be familiar to you, but you must look to the Lord that He grants you conviction, spiritual insight, and that you will persevere in these directions all the time. So the first major area that obviously flow forth from what I've already said would be the marks of the healthy church life would include the brethren firmly grounded in their relationship with God, their knowledge of God, God's ways and provisions, and grounded firmly in the truth God has revealed in the scriptures. You can say this is a bigger thing. And they are varying degrees. And we have to continue to work at that. That is primary. Firmly grounded in our growing knowledge of God, relationship with God, understanding His ways, His provisions, and groundly founded in the truth God has revealed in the scriptures. Together with that, there will be that reverence for God, the spirit of worship, the spirit of thanksgiving to God, and church life undergirded by prayer in every aspect. Prayer must permeate every aspect of church life. Then the next area is the members of the body are properly integrated. When we talk about church life functioning well, first, the brethren must gather together. Not isolated, each one just going on in his own life. You need to gather together. But not just presence in the gatherings. You are properly integrated. The implications of being properly integrated includes the proper working of each individual part, which we have looked at in Ephesians chapter 4. If you are properly integrated, it means you are receiving, you are also contributing. The contributing, there are many different forms. And true contribution primarily begins in the heart. And not only that, there are also various forms of participation and contribution which do not have a lot of obvious outward manifestations. That is all right. But the important thing is also to understand how God wants us to contribute. And as we grow in our knowledge of God, the truth, we look to Him together, church life functioning well, then the Lord will guide, and different ones will be learning, contributing. And as this goes on, the life of the Lord, spiritual life, will flow in the hearts of each one and flows right through the body. And there will be the life of God that flows in a way that is different from just different individuals loving God, committed to God, seeking to work out their lives before God. Just as in the physical body, as the blood flows to all parts of the body, and how all the different parts of the body together constitutes the person, and what the person is able to accomplish when the various parts of the body are functioning well, is very different from just individual parts of the body trying to work out. So there will be a proper working of each individual part, and the life that will flow in the body to every part, and also the different parts will be ministering to one another. So the life flows, and you will keep flowing. And it would also mean, when this is going on in this way, and this is how God wants us to work out healthy church life, that's what we should aim to work towards, and it can, the reality can be attained in varying degrees, but the goal, how God wants us to work out, will be then, as we lead, work out in this way, there will be the expression of the life of the body wherever we may be. And this can be when we are gathered together. Different ones, when you express yourself, when we are gathered together in this way, it's not just you expressing. When you express your worship of God, for example, and you give thanks to God, you testify to God's goodness, it is the body expressing thanksgiving to God. You are representing the body. You are a part of the body. Even as at the same time you can also be edifying the others in the body. Then also, when you are not gathered together, and this gathering together can be during times like this, it can be other times in smaller groups, when you gather together for prayer meetings and so on. But also at other times and all the time, if you are properly integrated, then wherever you may be, at home, in school, in work, you are expressing the life of the body. You are representing the body. Not just as a concept, but the reality. Because the body is not limited by time and space. Just as prayer can reach to the furthest point, the point that's furthest away from you on this earth. Or for that matter, now the man is able to travel to outer space. Through prayer, you can even reach and impact someone in outer space. So likewise, if we are properly integrated, even if at times you are separated, including brethren who may be overseas, but it requires that they be properly integrated. If they are not, then the life will not flow in that way. Likewise, they can continue to contribute to the life of the body, even though not separated. But as I said, in our midst, because over the years we've been preaching, teaching over the various of these aspects, different ones of us have understood, absorbed, worked out to varying degrees, there will be a certain degree of reality, but it varies. So the more you understand these things, the more you align your heart with, the more that reality will be taking place. So together with that, another aspect would be each member will be growing unto maturity in Christ. This is also a very major aspect in Ephesians 4. This is what God desires. All of us to grow into the image of Christ. And the important goal is be conformed to the image of Christ. So growing unto maturity in Christ. And that is not just meant for some. So a few are laboring very hard and all the rest are just trying to enjoy, benefit from the labor of others. It's not like that. For many, many years through church history, this area of truth has been very little seen. But it is very clear in the scriptures, in Ephesians 4, in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14, in Romans chapter 12, we see that God's intention is that every member of the body is to be healthy, learning, growing, contributing, participating. So each one growing unto maturity. So then healthy church life would provide for this. But does it mean that if a context is working out properly, everyone will be growing very well? Not necessarily. It still requires the individual to respond well. The Lord Jesus, the perfect teacher and preacher, but as he preached and taught, not everybody responded well. So likewise, even if we are working out properly, but we, healthy church life, would have to provide that environment where it is feasible for any believer in that context. He wants to learn, he wants to grow, he wants to participate. It is feasible. The avenues would be there. And that is why we have open worship. Not just because we prefer it, but we see that that is what is laid out in the scriptures. The open worship is meant to expression of the health of the group. Anyone can participate, and we can all benefit from one another. But then we also need to know, we have the privilege, but we also have the responsibility. It's an opportunity for us to express our love for the Lord, our appreciation of God, as well as opportunity for us to be a blessing to others in the body. So all of us need to take this responsibility seriously. Yes, some express it more in the outward form, but all of us can express actually in outward form. But there are also other aspects of contribution to the open worship. So we need to bear in mind there are many aspects to it. But likewise also, as we gather together on Wednesdays, the prayer meeting, the teaching sessions, the home fellowship groups, as well as various ones of us have opportunities to interact in informal ways. We need to benefit from the ministry of others, as well as contribute our part, and each one growing unto maturity. And that is what Ephesians 4 talks about, the body built up in love. So you have both individuals growing, the other is the whole body. And there is such a reality in the spiritual realm, the spiritual entity of the body. Where, and how well the body is growing, it's not just the sum total. You add up all the individuals, how healthy, how mature they are. That is the very important aspect of how the various individuals understand, recognize, and are actually working out, expressing the life of the body. So how church life is going on, if it goes on well, then the whole body is built up, individuals are built up, the other is the strength and the health of the whole body. And as this takes place, there will be also another important aspect, and that is there will be unceasing, powerful testimony and impact in the spiritual realm. And ultimately, this is the critical thing. It's not just outwardly things appear to go on well. And the impact in the spiritual realm includes, in the context of spiritual warfare, but more importantly, the positive dimension of the advancement of God's kingdom. But the two are related. Advancement of God's kingdom, I've mentioned from time to time, will always be at the expense of the forces of darkness. And that is why the need to learn to discern, to recognize, and to overcome the forces of darkness in spiritual warfare. And when church life functions well, then tremendous power can be released in the spiritual realm, in spiritual warfare, as well as the advancement of God's kingdom, which primarily takes place in the hearts of people, including in the hearts of believers, as well as God having the freedom to work powerfully in the hearts of those who do not yet know him. We tend to be very impressed. If someone preaches the gospel and many turn to the Lord, we may be more impressed with the one who has preached the gospel. Yes, it may be so. He may be a powerful preacher of the gospel. But sometimes we may not realize. There could be. Sometimes the preacher didn't preach that well. But maybe. And it could be. That many have been praying for this preacher was the result of how the Lord worked powerfully in that situation. But more importantly, what we are talking about is not just a specific occasion. It's a continuing thing. The other is the spiritual atmosphere, positive or negative. In this fallen world, the spirit of the world, the negative spiritual dimension, I've talked about this in other contexts, including the book The Two Kingdoms, is a very real thing that stifles many things in relation to what God wants to do. But there is the other dimension, opposite to the negative spirit of the world, is the positive spiritual dimension. You can say, use the expression, the spirit of God's kingdom. And that is when God's people, it can take place at a personal level, but very powerfully when the expression of body life is going on well, then as we worship God, as we respond to God, as we work out in fellowship with God, then all the time there we will be transmitting and God will be working such that the positive spiritual dimension will go forth in the spiritual realm. And this can go forth in a way that goes far beyond just working in the hearts of a particular individual. You know, there's such a thing as a whole group or even a whole country. What is the spiritual atmosphere in that country? Well, there are many of these things. We have not talked a lot about it, but from time to time I said a little. Maybe subsequently we may go further into some of these aspects. But these are very real things in the spiritual realm. In times past I've mentioned, there are those who love the Lord deeply, who are powerful workers of God, servants of God, and they labor hard in very difficult contexts. They labor many years, but practically nobody turned to the Lord. Maybe one or two, sometimes none. And it seems as if their fruit, there's hardly any fruit of their labor. But actually, they are laying down the foundation. They are weakening the forces of darkness and the grip on the people. And they are laying the foundation, but subsequently, others who come after them, as they share, as they preach, you see many turning to the Lord. And many may not realize that those who have gone before, of course, there are also those who go after. But what I'm talking about is that what is taking place in the spiritual realm, not always obvious, but that is the critical thing. And that will always take place when we are growing well, we are truly submitting to the Lord, we know God's ways, we are submitting to God's ways, then God will definitely work. Why? Because God wants to work. God wants to manifest His power. He wants many who don't know Him to turn to Him, and not only that, those who already turn to Him, not to remain babes in Christ, tossed to and fro, so vulnerable to the attacks of the world, but He wants all to grow into maturity. So if we understand and we are responding well to His calling, then surely God will work and He will bring to pass. And that is where we must place our confidence. That is true faith. Faith in God and the truth that He has revealed. But then we need to properly, accurately understand God and the ways of God and the truth that He has revealed. And once that is clear, we must set our heart on being faithful to God. But we need to understand that when I'm talking about the monks of healthy church life, this is a scriptural revelation, just as the final goal, the church in all her glory, the manifold wisdom of God being manifested. That's the goal that we should work towards. But to move in that direction, to attain step by step in that direction, it will be a very difficult road to travel. There are many trials, difficulties, and many pitfalls, and there will be stumbling along the way. This is unavoidable. It will be so. Because we are working, we seek to work in that direction, all this takes place in the context of intense, unceasing spiritual opposition and attacks of the evil one. And especially if you begin to see glimpses of the truth and you set your heart on it, the evil one knows this is very, very threatening to the kingdom of darkness. So he will seek by all ways and means to snuff it all out and destroy it completely if he can, or to confuse the whole picture. it will be so. So the James tells us we need not only to submit to God, but also to resist the evil one and what he seeks to do. Paul warns us not to be ignorant of the wiles of the evil one. So there will be intense, unceasing spiritual opposition, and he'll be exploiting our weaknesses, our deficiencies, and all of us have. None of us is without deficiencies. And he'll be taking advantage of the weakness of the flesh. And together we need to bear in mind, we are living in the fallen world, not just the surroundings, but each one of us come into this world with the weakness of the flesh, which will remain with us until the day we depart from this earth. Together with that, there's so many distractions and temptations and difficulties in this fallen world. So it will be difficult. But once we are clear of God's call and we profess we love the Lord, and we should, then we must not waver in our commitment to this path, and we must persevere. And we can look to the Lord that he will strengthen us, he will protect us, he will keep us, not just automatically, but we need to recognize our need and pray for God to protect, to guide, to enable, and at the same time willing to deal with the weaknesses in our lives so that we can grow well, and need to be alert, diligent, and not allow the evil one to take advantage of our lives, and to face it when we do fail. Not to rationalize it, but we acknowledge it, confess it, so that we can be washed, forgiven, and then go on from there. Otherwise, it will fester. The evil one, the ground will grow, and it can become more and more complicated and difficult. Because of time, I cannot go much further, but just a few brief remarks along these lines. Very important. We must maintain this steadfast faith in God and his provisions, and continually look to God to protect us and keep us and enable us. There's no other way. This is the only way. And together with that, we must encourage, uphold one another. Try our best to minimize, to make it to minimize unnecessary, making it difficult for one another. We are all in the body of Christ moving in the same direction. Yes, at times we may have to say certain things that may be a bit painful to the ear, but it must be constructive out of love. And that is intended actually to build up. Yes, Paul can rebuke the Galatians, but it's out of love. And it's meant to build up. So it doesn't mean we always say nice things, pleasant things to one another. But we must be very careful that we are building up one another and not tearing down. And to trust God that his grace will be sufficient for us. He has assured us, he has promised us. Just his words to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. It's true for Paul, it will also be true for us. My grace. So we must look to God. It is God's grace, not on our own. And it will always be sufficient, is sufficient all the time, currently. Not just yesterday sufficient, but always sufficient. And power is perfected in weakness. We are weak, vulnerable. But it's actually very important for us to know we are weak. That will help us to depend on God. If we think we are strong, we will be defeated. We must know we are weak, and we have to depend on God, and to know we are continually weak and needy people. But we don't stop at we know we are weak. We must also know we can be strong, but in the Lord. But always know, in ourselves we are always weak. But in the Lord we can be strong, and not only that, in the Lord we can grow, and we can become stronger and stronger. That's why the book Truly Strong, based on messages you've already heard preached in times past. So we can grow in moral spiritual stature, but it's always and only strong in the Lord, and by his grace we attain, we grow, and also how we overcome moment by moment. And as we run this race, we must always be fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus, knowing that He is the author as well as the perfecter or the finisher of our faith. So running this race endurance in times past, I've elaborated on this at some length. Fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus, never taking our eyes away from Him. And we run the race that is set before us, the path that God wants us to take, not run our own race. But we must continually fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus, not just sometimes, all the time. And this fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus is not the physical, it's the spiritual fellowship. They're looking to Him as an example, as so the source of our strength, and also in fellowship with Him. And also trusting Him to bring into completion what He has already begun in our hearts. So it's a continuing process throughout our time on earth. We never reach full maturity, far from it. If that were the case, then Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 no longer apply to us. No, it continues to grow. Likewise, Ephesians 4, the growth unto maturity is a continuing thing. And the goal is conform to the image of Christ. It's infinite. So we have a long way to go, but we must lay aside every encumbrance, sin that entangles us, and to run the race with endurance. So all these words in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 are very important. And also telling us to, as we fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus, to know that He endured the cross. And then He sat down on the right hand of God. So this is a strong encouragement to us. Paul also tells us the same thing in Philippians 2. The Lord Jesus, how He humbled Himself, became a bondservant, and obedient God the Father, even up to the point of death, and death on the cross, and then God highly exalted Him. Likewise, as we persevere, in the midst of trials, difficulties, we persevere, it will not be in vain. We will grow, we will attain true greatness, and also the meaning of our place in eternity, our place in God's kingdom. Something that we can look forward to. God has promised us very wonderful rewards awaits His faithful servants. And we must be very careful not to mix that up with earthly rewards. Many times people say, I'll reward you if you do that. Many of these things are actually not very meaningful. You must learn to do it because that is the right thing, that's a good thing, that's pleasing to God. Not just because somebody will give you some reward. But when it comes to spiritual rewards, different. These are wonderful things that God wants to give to us. And it comes to us in the context of faithful service. These are wonderful things that we can look forward to. It's part of God's encouragement to us when He tells us in the scriptures of His rewards to all those who overcome. You see this in Revelation. You see this also in the Gospels. The encouragement from the Lord Jesus. What awaits all those who are faithful to Him, but not just in eternity. Right now, we are already in God's kingdom. We already can enjoy many of the things that God wants to bestow upon us as His children in His kingdom. So we can have a very meaningful walk with Him, personally, together. We'll pause here for today. These are very important things, very close to God's heart. As we prepare ourselves to partake Lord's Supper, let's draw near to God, ask Him to grant us insight into what is in His heart and what He wants to communicate to us. The precious truth regards to expression of body life, church life, the role of the church, its significance, and that the body of Christ consists of individuals. So how each one of us respond is very important, but we need to understand how to respond well in the context of the expression of body life. Not just each one of us doing our own thing. May the Lord be pleased to speak to each one of us as we prepare ourselves to partake Lord's Supper. Let's ask the Lord to help us to recognize what are some of the areas that we need to pay more attention, to be diligent in working at. What are the hindrances that we need to remove? Our Father in heaven, we praise you and worship you for who you are, the great and almighty God. We thank you for all that you have done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and what you continue to work in our hearts at a personal level and also together in church life. We pray that you will grant us insight into what you revealed in the scriptures at this point of time as we continue to consider your revelation regards to the role of the church and how you desire church life to function. We pray that you help us to be able to appreciate how important these issues are and how we ought to respond to you. We know that before we are able to respond well, we need to understand the truth so that we can then exercise true faith, that we can then work at what you desire of us effectively. We know that what ultimately is critical is what takes place in our hearts and the spiritual realm. And yet at the same time, we also know that we need to be careful not to deceive ourselves into thinking that all is well, because of the realm of the unseen is not obvious. We pray that you help us to know that it cannot be well if our hearts are not responding well to you and to the truth. And so we pray that you will continue to speak to each one of us and also together as your children to know how we can truly respond to you and your high calling. Thank you now for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. We pray that you will prepare our hearts. And as we partake together, you will deepen our oneness with you and our oneness in the body of Christ, that we'll be strengthened afresh by the life of Christ, strengthened and able to work out what is in your heart, in our personal lives and together in church life. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.